It's The Current's Music News, the daily podcast where we tell you what you need to know about what's going on in the music world. It's Election Day, Tuesday, November 6th. So if your polling place is still open, you're listening to this, you haven't voted, put down the podcast, go let your voice be heard at the polls, and then come back and we'll still be here. We promise. Oh, I'm Jay Gabler.
And I'm Jade. And on the way, a Holy Grail music documentary is finally gracing us with its release.
And I'll be explaining, speaking of politics, why artists seem to have such a hard time getting politicians to stop playing their music at rallies. But first, a few more of today's headlines. Well, the Queen biopic, Bohemian Rhapsody, opened this past weekend and exceeded all expectations for ticket sales. This movie had such a famously problematic development. They had to, like, fire the leading man. Then they had to fire the director. Everybody's like, oh, this is going to be bumpy. But it destroyed the box office over the weekend, made $50 million in the U.S. and another $72 million abroad, which makes it the second biggest opening for a music biopic.
A, I want to know what the number one is, but B, what I'm actually super excited about is in the movie, they just give you a sample of the Live Aid performance, but apparently the actors portraying the band recorded the entire thing, and they're going to release that pretty soon here. I'm guessing that's going to be something that people are really excited about as well.
Totally, yeah. That might or might not be all of that movie you really need, but people are excited to see the whole thing. The number one biopic is Straight Outta Compton, opened in 2015 to huge numbers and remains the highest grossing music biopic ever. But the producers of Bohemian Rhapsody actually aren't the only ones who are pleasantly surprised over the weekend. Neil Doughty of REO Speedwagon, their keyboardist, went to the movie, bought a ticket, and he did not know that his band were going to get a shout-out, and he loved the context in which they did. He told Billboard, quote, in the movie they're going, Paul McCartney is going to be at Live Aid, and Elton John, and The Who, and REO Speedwagon? Neil Doughty says, I had no idea we were mentioned in the movie. I'm going, boy, they sure put us in some good company. He says, we've been in some bad movies, but never one that was number one like this. There hasn't really been an REO Speedwagon movie, but their music has been used in some marginal films.
Jay, can I just say how much I appreciate you for doing the deep dig for us? Okay, what have they appeared in?
Well, so their music has been in some less than memorable movies like Employee of the Month or Ghosts of Girlfriends Past. But when he was saying we've been in some bad movies, surely he was not referring to the iconic adventure film Goonies, which features REO Speedwagon's song Wherever You're Going, parentheses, It's All Right, end parentheses. Well, we're talking about movie music. After 3 weeks at the top of Billboard's album chart, the soundtrack to A Star Is Born has been dethroned, bumped out of the top spot by kind of an unlikely contender. I did not see this one coming.
Drum roll, please.
The new album by Andrea Bocelli. That's right, the 60-year-old Italian pop opera public TV star. He's got a new album out called See, and now it's number one.
Do you know, Jay, that he's also going on tour?
Coincidentally, he packaged copies of his new album, See, with those concert tickets. And sure enough, that helped him shoot to the top of the charts.
Yeah, my mother-in-law is going. That's how I know. And she probably helped him get to number one.
He also had a little help from friends, including Ed Sheeran, Dua Lipa, and Josh Groban, all of whom have appearances on the album, as well as his son, Matteo.
I thought sooner or later the lights up above will come down in circles and God made a love.
January 13th, 1972 in Los Angeles was fairly typical weather-wise, but in the New Temple Missionary Baptist Church, a very unique religious experience was taking place. Aretha Franklin, at that point a huge full-fledged star, had platinum records and was officially, by this point, the Queen of Soul, was going back to her gospel roots, backed by the Reverend James Cleveland and the Southern California Community Choir. Her father, Reverend C.L. Franklin, who introduced her to gospel, he was there, along with Mick Jagger and Charlie Watts of the Rolling Stones. Aretha spent 2 days showcasing her power to command a room and lift spirits with her singular voice. The entire performance was recorded by Atlantic Records engineers and documented on a film. The music was released 6 months later, but the film, well, that's kind of been a work in progress for 46 years. But it looks like the movie version of Amazing Grace will finally hit theaters. The Doc NYC Film Festival announced today it will be screening the movie twice on Monday, November 12th. Sabrina Owens, that's Aretha Franklin's niece and the executor of the Franklin Estate, said her fans need to see this film, which is so pure and so joyous.
And this has been such a confusing story in recent years because there were these sound sync problems that kept it from being ready for release until recently. But then once it got ready for release, Aretha herself wasn't into it.
Aretha never wanted this to come out. It was set to come out in 2015 at the Colorado Film Festival, and Aretha Franklin blocked it there. She blocked it in Toronto in 2015 as well. And she said, "It isn't that I'm not happy about the film because I love the film." But if you go back to 2011, when she blocked it again, she really didn't feel like it should come out because it's the equivalent of replaying an entire Aretha Franklin concert without her consent. And when you look at Aretha Franklin, she's a lady that likes to get paid. When she was going to perform a show, she would say, "You have to pay me before I go on stage." She'd take that cash, toss it in her purse, and plop that right down next to the piano so that she could keep an eye on it. And so the idea of people getting to see her perform without paying a little something for it, that never settled right with Aretha. And if you're going to any of these festivals, you may get a chance to see it. In addition to the Doc NYC screening, Amazing Grace is set to play Santa Monica's Film Festival from November 20th to the 27th, New York's Film Forum, December 7th through the 14th, and all of these, heads up, will allow the movie to qualify for next year's Oscars, so keep that in mind. But I think we can all enjoy the live music from the album version of Amazing Grace. Here's Aretha's take on the classic.
So there's a long history of musicians objecting to politicians' use of their music. Everybody talks about Bruce Springsteen's beef with Ronald Reagan, but George W. Bush, Sarah Palin have both had artists say, "Hey, please quit playing my music at rallies." Well, our current president, Donald Trump, is a controversial guy, and so it seems like every time he holds a rally, there's another music star who's like, "Hey, cease and desist, nope, stop, can't do it, stop." But it keeps happening. And so people might be wondering, are musicians allowed to block this kind of use of their music? In a world where, like, Prince's record label can stop, like, a mom from using Let's Go Crazy in a video of her cute dancing baby, can musicians not say, "Hey, please stop using my music at your political rally"?
And if they do, does that mean that they actually have to stop?
So the New York Times did kind of a deep dive on this and published a helpful explainer. And so the answer has to do with how music is licensed. So generally speaking, if a venue or a political campaign, and often it's both, pays for a music license, okay, they've paid a blanket fee to ASCAP and BMI, and that allows them to play pretty much whatever music they like. You know, they've paid for it, and as long as you're not getting up on the podium and saying, "Rihanna supports me," then there might not be much she can do about it. It'd be a different scenario if a politician used an artist's music in a TV ad. They'd need to get a sync license for that. But just to play the music in the background, even at a political rally, often is totally legal.
What about when those rallies are filmed? Because a lot of those have been filmed lately and are showed on television. So it's almost like a sync license.
Even there, if it's news coverage, that might still be okay. But artists do have some potential options. One option, the Times notes, involves basically a loophole. So you might be having a rally somewhere where the venue got a license to play music, but the campaign didn't, or the license doesn't apply to third parties. So, for example, you might get a music license for your bar that lets you play a jukebox or, you know, whatever you want over the speakers of your bar. That doesn't necessarily mean a DJ can come in and play whatever they want without having their own license. But it is a loophole. It doesn't cover everything. But what's now happening increasingly is that artists are writing into their licensing agreements specific exclusions. So, for example, Steven Tyler of Aerosmith apparently has music licensing agreements with ASCAP and BMI or whatever, you know, whatever organizations he needs to, and has it specifically written into his agreements that this license applies to everyone but the Trump campaign.
Wow. Yeah.
So this may be the way things go in the future, is that artists, if they want more control over their music being used in political contexts, write into their music licenses that this license does not apply to political events. So today's viral hit is a meme inspired by the new Ariana Grande song.
One of them taught me love, one of them taught me patience, and one of them taught me pain.
That is what Ariana Grande sings in the chorus of her new hit single, Thank You, Next, which is generally interpreted as being specifically about her most recent breakup with Pete Davidson, but perhaps referring to some other, you know, partners in her past. And her fans are loving it. They're loving everything Ariana is doing. As a matter of fact, here's a fun fact. Do you know that right now Ariana Grande has 10% of the Hot 100?
Well, because she just released Sweetener, too, just like a couple weeks ago.
So that whole album basically is in the Hot 100. Everyone is loving Ariana, and they've turned this most recent single into a meme. So fans are taking those words that Jay just spoke so beautifully and posting them on social media with trios of whatever it is that they think taught them love, patience, and pain. So what is this? We're talking about the three Shrek movies.
The children from Home Improvement.
Oat milk, almond milk, and whole milk. Maybe my favorite, Rory Gilmore's boyfriends, Manchester United soccer seasons. And this story is a little personal for me because I posted my own Ariana meme. People didn't think it was very good. I only got one like. Shout out to Katie Boland of the band Dennis for being the only person who appreciated my Thank You, Next meme.
I'm sorry, Jay. I'll go back and search for it.
I don't need a pity like. But I thought it was great. So I took the Christopher Reeve as the wholesome Superman from the first Superman movie, then Christopher Reeve in bed with Margot Kidder in number two for the one that taught you patience, and then the dark Superman from Superman 3 where he gets evil as the one who taught you pain.
Covering all your bases.
I thought it was gold. Well, that's today's music news. You can see some more of those memes and read more about all those stories over at thecurrent.org. I'm Jay Gabler.
I'm Jade. And don't forget to like Jay's tweet.
Our producer is Anna Wiggle, and we are on Facebook. Of course, we're on Facebook. You got to be on Facebook to keep up with the memes. Also, you can keep up with our new group, The Current Music News. It's an open group. Find it on Facebook. Join it. We're in there chatting about the music news of the day, sharing episodes, and you can let us know in that group what stories you're following and what you think we should be covering. To join the group, just search Facebook for The Current Music News, and you'll find the group right there. We will be back tomorrow with more music news headlines.